This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Levy reminds us that it's easier to think about supply than it is to think about supply chains. Take one of the most common tropes of the COVID era.
As everywhere, there's been an inexplicable run on toilet paper.
Fights over toilet paper breaking out in grocery stores as shelves run empty.
The shelves are empty, no toilet paper.
Lots of examples of shoppers hoarding toilet paper with fights breaking out in supermarkets in Australia. One newspaper even printed, listen to this, extra blank pages for readers in case of emergencies.
But tech writer Willow Remus dug into the toilet paper issue and found that hoarding isn't even half the story.
There are some reports of gastrointestinal symptoms with COVID-19, but in general, people should be using the bathroom roughly the same amount that they've always been using the bathroom, and yet you go to the store and you can't find any toilet paper. Well, the explanation that people immediately turned to was hoarding or panic buying.
And so there's a psychological explanation.
Yeah, and I learned a lot of interesting new concepts that tried to reconcile this.
It's rooted in something called zero-risk bias.
Zero-risk bias is that there are some threats we can mitigate only partially. There are other threats that we can just get rid of entirely. The threat of running out of toilet paper during a pandemic is one that we could just take right off the table by stocking up on tons of toilet paper, whereas the threat of actually catching COVID-19, that's a lot trickier, harder to do. So we go for the thing that's easy, even if it isn't the most significant threat.
Now, The Atlantic published a short documentary harking back to the great toilet paper scare of 1973.
Amidst the recent preoccupation with the fuel shortage and the meat shortage, a new gap has appeared in the staples of the American household.
A Scott spokesman said unfounded rumors of a shortage has caused excessive demand at retail outlets.
So going back to November 1973, there were these sort of obscure news reports that there had been a tissue shortage in Japan. And it kind of passed unnoticed until a Republican congressman named Harold V. Froelich put out a press statement claiming that the government printing office is facing a shortage of toilet paper. And then a few weeks later, it makes its way into a joke by Johnny Carson.
Of all the shortages we have, there's a gasoline shortage. You know what else is disappearing from the supermarket shelves? Toilet paper. Ha ha ha, you can laugh now.
But people took it seriously. Either they thought it was true, or they didn't want to take the risk that it might be true. So they rushed out to the stores, emptied the shelves of toilet paper, and it became a self-fulfilling prophecy. Based on The Atlantic's reporting, it went on for months, and it was all due to this misinformation, this joke that people took seriously.
It's all over by February 74. That's 4 months. Johnny Carson, who got a lot of the blame, issued a very serious apology right to the camera.
For all of my life as an entertainer, I don't want to be remembered the man who created a false toilet paper scare. Apparently, there is no shortage.
He picked it up from the paper because the media of 1974 loved this story. We need to remember this was a time of oil shortages and economic malaise.
Right, and we can start to see the parallels to today when people are scared about so many things. There's so much uncertainty we're facing that we are ready to believe that there will be no toilet paper. We're ready to believe anything at this point.
Now, I was transfixed by your piece because you explain what actually happened. And that has to do with two largely separate markets for toilet paper.
The toilet paper you use when you leave the home is not the same toilet paper you use at home.
When you go to the office or any public bathroom, you're going to find toilet paper that's either in individual sheets or it's on these big, enormous rolls.
It's two totally different products. One is recycled, the other one is virgin fiber. One of them is thin, flimsy, it comes in huge rolls, whereas the kind you buy in the store is often embossed and layered and cushy. I talked to some of the companies that make toilet paper, both for this commercial market that sends toilet paper to office buildings, restaurants, airports, schools, and for the residential market. It's actually often different companies producing these two different kinds of toilet paper. A lot of the stories about the toilet paper shortage initially talk to Procter & Gamble. They own Charmin, among other leading toilet paper brands. They make toilet paper almost entirely for the retail market, the nice stuff that you buy at the store. But they didn't talk to companies like Georgia-Pacific, which makes toilet paper for both markets. And what they could have told you is they're seeing a spike in demand for toilet paper that people use at home, but not for toilet paper that goes to the commercial market.
In fact, probably a great deal less, with 75% of the U.S. population under stay-at-home orders, roughly.
And they're not using any of the type of toilet paper that you get when you're out in the world. So there's a completely understandable reason for a spike in demand on the type of toilet paper that people use in the home. We're using the bathroom more at home than we used to.
Not only is it not the same product, it often doesn't come from the same mills, and supply chains are crafted in such a way that you can't easily swap one product for the other.
Right. Toilet paper is an unusual product. It is extremely bulky for the price. It takes up a lot of space, but it's not worth much. So it would be a bad move to be stocking a lot of toilet paper in inventory in warehouses. You'd be wasting space. And so it is one of those products built around just-in-time manufacturing. The companies that make toilet paper are keeping their assembly lines at close to full capacity all the time because they know exactly how much toilet paper people will need. It just doesn't change. But what that means is even a little spike in demand throws off the whole system.
Partly because the industry runs on very thin profit margins.
Right. If you had excess capacity and you're in the toilet paper business, that's lost money. Your competitors are going to beat you up by going thinner and leaner and producing just enough toilet paper all the time.
So the rush on toilet paper does represent real scarcity then, not just consumer panic.
Right. So it was probably triggered by some degree of panic, but also some degree of just totally rational preparedness. I mean, if you're going to be at home for a while, you better go out to the store and make sure you've got enough toilet paper. But then this other factor takes over and we get the real sustained increase in demand. That is what helps explain why the toilet paper has not come back to the shelves, even after stores across the country have tried to crack down on hoarding by saying you can only buy one pack of toilet paper at a time.
But if the toilet paper manufacturers aren't going to produce more and people are using more, why should we expect the shortage to end anytime soon?
I mean, I think at this point, people are ready to accept the crummy commercial toilet paper at home if it's all they've got. So the logistical problem becomes a little simpler, although it still exists. If you were making toilet paper for the commercial market and now you want to send it to drugstores and grocery stores, you've got to make new contracts. You've got to figure out new shipping routes, who's going to be driving that toilet paper, who's going to be dropping it off and when, how it'll be priced, how it'll be packaged. That all takes time. And the reason it's not happening quickly is, as we discussed, if you go overboard, if you retool your whole assembly line to produce more retail toilet paper and less commercial, then you're going to be in trouble because you'll have the wrong supply when people are going back to work and need toilet paper there.
What does the framing of this story tell us about the invisibility of our supply chains, whether we're in a pandemic or not?
Yeah, once I learned about this shift in demand and about the two different types of toilet paper and all the complex supply chains behind each one, it was sort of head-smackingly obvious. Of course people are using more toilet paper at home, and of course the stuff we use at home is different from the stuff that we get at work.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is that once we had the narrative that it was hoarding or panic buying, once we thought we knew that, then the fresh angles were, well, how do we explain that? It seems so dumb. I don't think a lot of people went back and asked, well, could there also be a different cause? Or could that have been the cause initially, but there's now something else going on. Supply chains are not well understood, I think, by the general public. I think they're not even well understood by a lot of the media. While toilet paper is an extreme case of this kind of bifurcated home versus commercial market, it's not the only product that works like this. There was an NPR Weekend Edition story that talked to the CEO of a fruit and vegetable supplier. Grocery stores have been selling out of bananas. Now, this supplier supplies bananas to the commercial market. The bananas that you get at your workplace, you know, at the cafeteria, they are small and they come loose, whereas the ones you buy in the store are big and bright and they come in bunches. The grocery stores don't typically stock the commercial bananas. And again, we have two different supply chains there. And now it's a matter of figuring out, can we get those little teeny restaurant bananas into grocery stores where people presumably will accept them at this point, even if they previously didn't prefer them? And then there's the beer industry, where a company like Anheuser-Busch, usually a lot of its beer is put into kegs and sent to restaurants and bars. Well, that is kind of out the window. So now they have to figure out how to get all that same beer into bottles, get it into the grocery stores and the liquor stores before those run out.
Nothing but toilet paper touches every American.
That's right.
Will Oremus writes for 10, a Medium publication about tech and science. You can read the article called What Everyone's Getting Wrong About the Toilet Paper Shortage on marker.medium.com.
Coming up, what about the gut-busting shortage of sports? We've got an answer, though we're not entirely sure you'll like it.
This is On the Media.